Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, any migraine sufferers listening know how debilitating the condition is. And today there's news from the UK that the first daily pill to prevent chronic migraine could soon be available on the NHS. Now, health experts there said up to 170,000 patients in England who have not responded well to other medications or who cannot have injections could benefit from taking something called atogepant. So how does it work? And could this be a game changer for migraine sufferers here? Well, I'm joined now on the line by Dr. Phil Kieran, who's a GP in Cork City Centre. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Claire. Thanks for having me on.
Migraine is a huge problem for some people, isn't it?
Massive problem for some people. And I think a lot of the times some people can be a bit dismissive about it, saying, sure, we all get headaches. But proper migraine is not similar to a headache that someone who's never had a migraine understands.
And for those who are chronic sufferers, they can be really disruptive to their lives, because I know for some people it means not being able to leave a dark room, being sick to their stomach as well. You know, it can be really disruptive to their life.
It can. So migraine can cause a lot of various symptoms other than the headache. It can cause changes to vision or even partial blindness. It can cause a severe sensitivity to light and noise. Now, this isn't saying like, oh, those lights are a bit bright or I can't look at the sun. This is, I need to go to a pitch black room and lie down. And it can cause problems with how your body interprets sound or touch or smell or taste. It can cause vomiting. And in really severe cases, you can get a thing called hemiplegic migraine, which can actually cause weakness down whole one side of your body. Mm-hmm. So for some people, migraine is absolutely debilitating.
And are there effective treatments available at the moment?
So there are a lot of treatments available for migraine sufferers, and it really depends on what your migraine is like, because it's slightly different for everyone, and what you've tried in the past. So for people who get milder migraines, we would often just start with straightforward things like paracetamol and making sure that you're well hydrated. And then we would move up sort of as severity goes along up through anti-inflammatory medications, and then we'd move into more specialized migraine treatments. So generally speaking, we try things called triptans, which anyone who suffers from migraines will know about. And these can be either tablets or injections or sprays into the nose. And you'd use them at the start of a migraine attack. And for people who are responsive to it, it can have an effect really abruptly and actually abort a migraine happening. Mm-hmm. So there are these treatments available.
But is timing really important with those existing treatments that you've just described, that you have to catch the migraine at the right moment? And if you don't, you're sort of in trouble.
Well, that is the case, yeah. So with a lot of these treatments, the earlier you catch them, the better. And that's then trying to find a balance between overusing them when you think you might be about to get a migraine and you don't, versus waiting too long and them not being as effective. Now, for people who they are effective for, they tend to be quite effective, even if they aren't catching them very, very early.
And what is the problem if you're overusing them? Do they become less effective then?
So they do, and actually one of the big problems, particularly with anti-inflammatory medications, but with all painkillers, is that they can cause, if you use them long enough, they can actually start causing headaches. So one of the most common causes of a daily headache is a thing called analgesia overuse headaches, which is where the pain relief, particularly, like I said, with anti-inflammatories, but with any pain relief, it will start causing headaches by itself.
Ooh.
And so then you're stuck into this awful cycle of, if I don't take it, I have headaches. And if I do take it, they're prolonging my headaches eventually. And so this is for people who would say, oh, I take it and I get some relief, but an hour or 2 hours later, my headache's back again. It's definitely something they need to have a consideration about.
Okay, well, let's talk about this thing now that they have found is working for people who aren't experiencing any relief from the existing treatments. Atogepant. Mm. So what does it do?
That is a very interesting and very tricky question to answer. So it's a thing called a CGRP blocker, right? So CGRP is calcitonin gene-related peptide, as everyone knows. And what that does is it is a small amino acid or a small peptide that acts on nerves, and particularly it can have effects around nerves around the brain, right? And so one of the steps that causes pain and symptoms with migraine, but there's all of these things that happen neurologically with a migraine, and then they all filter down to causing what's called sterile or non-infectious inflammation in parts of the brain and the nerves around the brain.
The pain, essentially.
That's the pain, exactly. Yeah. So CGRP is implicated in the pathway that generates this pain in a nerve, in the nerves and vasculature in the brain itself. CGRP is implicated in causing these symptoms. So we've had these CGRP related treatments in the past, and we've used them relatively successfully for acute attacks and things like that. And there have been forms of it which are used for prevention, but they have come as injections. Now, for the people they work for, they can be brilliant, but the injections, you have to go and get them or you have to give them yourself. They're very expensive. And for some people, particularly people with either poor mobility or poor dexterity or with needle phobias, they're not really an option.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this new Medicare or this new license for atogepant comes in. And for people who either can't give the injections themselves or can't get in to get the injections given to them or who have needle phobias, this could be life changing.
So what we're talking about here is a pill that you would take every morning.
Every morning, yeah. Yeah. So this is aiming for people who have chronic migraine. And chronic migraine would be described as having more than 15 migraine days a month, right? So this is more than half the time you're having severe migraines. And so for people in that scenario, taking a tablet or taking a treatment every day is much better than losing half of the month every month.
Mm-hmm. So not for people then who might occasionally get a migraine every couple of months. That's not who this would be recommended for.
No, certainly we would have more effective episodic treatment for people who have episodic migraines. And actually, this medication itself has been used for episodic migraines. And now we're looking at it as an oral form for use of preventing chronic migraines.
So the clinical trials then, in what you've heard so far, have they described any side effects?
The most common side effects, so this is quite a safe drug by and large. It can cause nausea and drowsiness and some gastrointestinal upset. They would be the most common side effects, which migraine can cause by itself already. So it seems to be a very well tolerated medication. I was looking at a trial published in The Lancet there recently, which showed that out of all of the people who were put on the treatment dose, only a very small proportion had to stop it because of side effects.
And do you think, reading what you've read this morning about this and hearing about it, that this could be something that might very well change the lives of people who have those chronic migraine symptoms a couple of times a month?
I think for a small group of them, it will absolutely change their lives. I think for some people with chronic migraine, they will already be quite happy with the treatment they're on, be it there are lots of other medications we would use. There's blood pressure medications or various types of antidepressants we use, which have effects in lower doses on the nerves around the brain itself. So a lot of people with chronic migraines will already be on treatment that they're okay with.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is for the people who don't respond to those treatments, up till now, their options have become very, very limited. So adding any treatment option to that category for these people is going to be a huge change for them.
Okay, now
I don't think anyone can overstress how much of a disability or disabling this chronic migraine can be to people who suffer from it.
Yes, especially when there's, you know, not much you can do or you've exhausted all of the options and nothing seems to be working. I have people getting in touch asking what causes migraines and is there a hereditary element?
There is a hereditary element, definitely, and it's much more common in women than men. So we know that it does run in families, and particularly more severe forms of migraine tend to run in families. What causes it is a really complicated pathway of events, but there's basically changes in the electrical signaling that goes on in the brain. They then lead to changes in some hormones and peptides, including or CGRP, as we were talking about.
Yeah.
And that causes changes in the blood vessels and what we would call the permeability of some of these blood vessels. They then release inflammatory markers, which cause inflammation in certain parts of the brain and in the head and in the neck. And that causes the nerves that are responsible for signaling pain to send pain signals.
What about stress and lifestyle? Do they play into this?
Absolutely. So we know that there are things for people who are prone to migraines, they can have triggers. So for some people, it'll be stress. For some people, it'll be lack of sleep. So fatigue and tiredness can be a huge trigger for it. And then some people will have specific chemical triggers. So let's say caffeine for some people, or some of the compounds, particularly xanthines and stuff in chocolate, can trigger migraines for people who are sensitive to it. So the triggers for migraines can be very, very varied, and they will vary from person to person. And the causes, we're not 100% sure why some people just get them and some people don't, but it definitely looks like there is a genetic component to it.
But isolating what might be triggering it, I'm sure that's part of the treatment, is it? That you try to find out what is it? Is it the glass of red wine that seems to be always the precursor to you having this awful episode?
And that would be a lot of patients that I would see who do suffer from migraines would have a fairly clear idea if they have triggerable migraines. So if their migraines are being triggered by a specific thing, a lot of the times by the time they come looking for help, they'd already say, I'm pretty sure that it's X, Y, or Z, and they've restricted from it. So the triggers tend to be relatively clear if they are being triggered by environmental factors. Now, they can be tricky to avoid, because if you work in a noisy place and it's noise that triggers it, that's a very difficult thing to avoid. Or if you have young children, it can be very difficult to avoid noise. So avoiding those triggers can be trickier than actually identifying them sometimes.
All right. Well, hopefully this is some good news coming down the tracks for people with chronic migraine. Phil, thank you very much. Dr. Phil Kieran there, who's a GP in Cork City Centre. And a reminder that that drug is called atogepant, and the study was done in the UK, and the recommendation is that it should be available on the NHS for those people who could benefit. Coming up next, why the triathlon event at the Paris Olympics is under threat because of water quality in the Seine.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.